whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. I'm fired up. One of my favorite dudes to talk ball with, Will Brinson from CBS Sports, joins us now. You can follow him at Will Brinson, B-R-I-N-S-O-N. What's up, dude? How are you?
What's up, man? How you doing?
We are good, dude. We are kind of just doing our thing. I want to ask you a question, B. Mitch, and I don't want to lead the witness here. Washington is in the playoffs, a 12-win season, really just a remarkable string of magical late wins. However, they only have one win against a current playoff team. Do you think that matters?
Probably. Like, I think when you look at the strength of the record, like, I think you can make a case that, and particularly in the AFC, maybe a lot less in the NFC, that this, and this is not unusual. We saw this in 2006, I guess, and maybe again, 2006, where, you know, there were all these teams at the top. Like, the playoff race was kind of boring relative to a normal 7-team, you know, expanded NFL playoff race, just because the league is so top heavy. And so I do think that having beaten the the higher level competition, and you see teams, I think it's like the Ravens, Chiefs, Bills, and the Eagles maybe have all the best records against the better teams. I think that might matter when you start going up against better competition. But the NFC to me is just wide open. I don't think the Commanders are going to go win it. But I mean, I wouldn't put anything past Jaden Daniels at this point with what he does at the end of games. And if you told me the Rams, Packers, anybody from that side of the bracket came out and played New Orleans, I wouldn't be that shocked.
But how do you explain the Bengals weren't winning most of the year, but everybody was so scared of the Bengals, talk about how great they were, and the Commanders basically outpaced them?
I don't know. We wanted the Bengals to be good, and prior, you got these priors before the season. I think I picked the Bengals to win the division. And so, you know, when you have those, B-Mitch, I think it tends, like, when they start sort of gravitating towards what we expected, we're like, oh, yeah, the Bengals are who we thought they were. Uh-huh. Well, the Commanders, the Commanders have Dan Quinn as a new head coach. And I think Dan Quinn, sorry, I'm walking in from taking my dog out like an idiot. It's freezing here.
It's freezing.
so cold. I think the Commanders – and particularly like Dan Quinn, when he was hired, it's like, oh, Commander's got a retread. Like, it's a good hire. But, like, what is it? I mean, Dan Quinn did an awesome job in Atlanta. Like, he had the Falcons basically about to win a Super Bowl, and then Tom Brady pulled the wizardry out of his rear end and, has orchestrated the all-time comeback. And so, like, I trust the head coaching staff. I think Cliff Kingsbury did a great job this season with Jaden Daniels in this offense. And when things started to sort of sputter a bit, they course corrected. And so, I think, the Commanders maybe we didn't have this, double-digit win playoff expectation for them this year. And so I think when the Bengals start to get hot, it's like, look out for the Bengals. But when the Commanders just keep kind of grinding their way to the playoffs, it's like, well, this team is magic and Jaden Daniels fairy dust.
Yeah, I totally agree, dude. DQ was not the sexy hire, but I think he was the right hire. I think Peters should certainly be considered for executive of the year. I mean, almost every
for sure.
move that dude made has been a absolute slam dunk. They put something together, and then you add Jaden, just a quarterback that hits the ground running and is a stud, and you get a magical 12-win season. It's been a lot of fun, but now you turn the page, right? There's no point in talking about going 12-5 when the next one is win or done.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about this matchup with Tampa? Tampa's got horses, man.
Yeah. Let's set the over-under for number of ejections in this game between just Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore at like a half.
Yeah, dude. It exists.
I mean, those dudes hate each other. Like, it's one of the sneakiest, like, most hated rivalries, you know, in the league dating back to the NFC South times. And so I think that would be a really interesting matchup. I know I heard on that update coming in, he practiced fully, so should be good to go. That's huge against a guy like Mike Evans. Yeah. I think the Buccaneers, though, present a lot of challenges. Liam Cohen's done a great job with that offense. You know, people worried Baker might come back to earth when Dave Canales left. I think Baker's been better than ever. I'm curious to see how Jaden plays. There's always this stigma with rookie quarterbacks in their first start. Certainly he's got a better setup than Bo Nix does in Buffalo, right? But I do think, even great rookie quarterbacks can go out there and struggle a little bit in their first start in the playoffs. And, if you look at what the Buccaneers do on defense, they're a pass funnel. I mean, they're a good defense overall, I think, at this point of the year. But, you really can't run on them. And so I think it's going to be really important for the Commanders to kind of come out. Like, Jaden Daniels has to be sharp early in the passing game, maybe use his legs some to sort of open up the run, some designed runs. And I think, that's really important how the Commanders start on offense, because Tampa's going to be able to score. Bucky Irving, Jalen McMillan, even if Lattimore wipes out Mike Evans or neutralizes him, they've got weapons on that side of the ball. Those young players for Tampa. Jason Light killed it in the draft this year. So, I really think you need to figure out a way to neutralize sort of the advantage that Tampa has and come out on offense and start hot, but you probably can't do it just by running the football. And as good as that offensive line has been for Washington this year, I think being a little aggressive with passing, with using rolling Jaden out, letting him see if he's got looks and he can use his legs. I think they need a hot start on offense through the air in order to sort of get Tampa on its heels and prevent them from becoming one dimensional.
Tampa had some had a point this season where they sputtered as well. Are they completely over that? I mean, they did come back on strong late in the season, but they did have a part where they dipped.
Yeah, I mean, I think, with Tampa, I mean, they certainly were struggling out of the gate. They had a really hard schedule early. Coming out of that week 11 bye, though, their only loss is that, the only blip on the radar is that loss to the Buccaneers, and so to the Cowboys in Dallas on Monday night. And so I think, you can look at the competition down the stretch, it wasn't that hard. That's why, even when they were sort of, their record wasn't great, I think 4-6 maybe, it still looked like, all right, if they can get hot at all on offense, this is a playoff team because of the schedule. They pulled it off, and there's a reason it's a 3-point spread and not some, 9-point spread that we've got elsewhere. Baltimore and Pittsburgh are playing. It's a freaking 9.5-point spread. If Washington won the game, it wouldn't shock me at all. I think they'll keep it close. I mean, Jaden has been magic late in games, and I just think that it's paramount that it's even early and not incumbent on this rookie quarterback in his first playoff start to try to create second half magic.
I couldn't agree more. Talking with our friend Will Brinson here. Washington, Dan Quinn has talked about it, Jaden Daniels. Players in that locker room are all cognizant that these slow starts and then having to rely on the magic late is not the formula. They want to get going faster.
Right.
We'll see if they're able to do it. Tampa's secondary might be the place to get that going, honestly.
That's sort of what I mean. You kind of got to come out if you try to come out and NFL teams love to come out all right, we're going to run the ball, be physical, you want to be sort of conservative in these first playoff starts. I think it's really the opposite for Washington. That's sort of the point I was trying to get across. Come out and be aggressive, push the ball down the field, get Terry McLaurin involved early and, attack them vertically or use Jaden's legs to sort of open up that run. Because if you just try to pound the ball against Tampa, it's not going to work. Yeah. And I think Tampa will be able to move the ball and score. And that really puts you in a tough spot.
Yeah, I agree. I want to zoom out from the Commanders-Tampa game specific. I want to get into some weird, wacky coaching stuff and then maybe some of this wild card weekend. You're in Raleigh. And I know you're an NC State guy, but Chapel Hill's just right down the road.
Is this a bad Belichick question?
Oh, God, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Do you believe I think he's staying at Carolina, but now you're hearing, Pelissero yesterday said, the buyout might not count for another NFL job. What do you make of that?
Yeah, so, the contract is public. I haven't FOIA'd it because, it's I want to pretend like this isn't happening and Bill Belichick isn't Chapel Bill isn't coaching against my beloved Wolfpack. I do think that Belichick, and I wrote this, and I think that he started the dalliance with Chapel Hill as a way to sort of, you know, like remind teams, NFL teams, if he's interested to stay on their radar. And then, you know, wasn't really sure what jobs are going to open, you know, because obviously he's not going back to the Patriots, but, you know, we got a slew of like teams that kind of opened up. He didn't know, I don't think he thought the Raiders would open up after 1 year, and I don't think anybody did. I mean, Antonio Pierce did a press conference on Monday, right? So I think he still wants to coach in the NFL. I mean, I think everybody knows that, right? No bleep Sherlock, like Scoop, right? He wants to coach in the NFL. He wants Shula's record. It didn't look like there was going to be a spot that would fit him that would definitely open up at the point that he was talking with Chapel Hill. And I don't think he wanted to spend a second year out of coaching because that, you know, once you do two coaching cycles where you don't land a job and you're Bill freaking Belichick, it's just not a great look. The buyout, though, I mean, it drops to $1 million on June 1st, after June 1st, 2025. So, you know, in like 6 months, it drops to $1 million. So I think that is telling that buyout drops like that after, you know, just, you know, 6 months on the job or whatever. More importantly, if Belichick decides to go back to the NFL, like Tom Brady's like, Bill, you got to come help me in the Raiders. You know, you'll have full freedom to do whatever you want in this building. You know, it's a slow build. We know we're in a division with Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, Andy Reid, all their quarterbacks. You know, I think he'll cut the check for $10 million because what Chapel Hill's going to do is turn around and make his son the head coach anyway. You know, they're not going to have time to go out and do another coaching search. So he's basically paying $10 million to give his son to have his son become a head coach and then be able to go back to the NFL. I mean, $10 million to an NFL owner, like $10 million is a lot of money. It's not a lot of money to NFL owners.
Not at all.
So, yeah, I mean, like, I still wouldn't rule it out. I know Diana Rossini came out and reported that it wasn't going to happen and that he was going to stay at Chapel Hill. I would guess that if I had to, I mean, I'm not going to source guess or anything like that, but, you know, I would guess that's not coming from the Belichick side of things. I would think it's probably maybe somebody in Chapel Hill that is saying, whoa, 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 we don't want, because, I mean, this would be embarrassing for Chapel Hill if he leaves.
Hell yeah.
I do think
the Belichick side of things is notoriously silent, too.
Right, exactly. Like, you know, the Pelissero stuff probably coming from, you know, one of these NFL teams that wants to let it know, you know, maybe it's like, whatever, maybe it's Belichick's agent, whatever it is, it's, you know, trying to, like, remind Jacksonville, hey, you know, Belichick's still there. I would not rule anything out. This is a guy who, the day he was being introduced as the Jets head coach, scribbled on a cocktail napkin, I resigned as HC of NYJ, and left and went and took the job of a division rival. Like, he is not afraid to walk away from something if he believes it will build his legacy and give him the best chance to win and become unquestionably the greatest of all time.
Absolutely.
Oh, boy.
I'm fascinated with that. Let's run through Wild Card Weekend. Talking with Will Brinson, CBS Sports. Give him a follow at Will Brinson, BRINSON. Dude, you got any upsets? Anything you like out of the expected this week?
Yeah, I got I think the Packers are live to beat the Eagles, and this is not necessarily like a. Yeah, the Eagles have some fatal flaw that, you know, that the Packers are going to expose. I mean, Jordan Love, if anything, Jordan Love's banged up. Christian Watson now out for the year. Mm. But I just think I wouldn't be shocked if, like, Jordan Love hadn't thrown a pick since what, like, Toyota-thon began or whatever the meeting is. But, I mean, we saw this not to the same extent. Like, he came into the playoffs a lot hotter last year than he did this year. But he's in control of the offense. They're playing great football. You know, they're probably a division winner. I don't know, like 9 out of 10 years. There just happened to be a 15-win and a 14-win team above them in the division, which is crazy. I think that Jordan Love, there's a chance Jordan Love goes into Philly and is just on fire and is dealing, and he's just sort of a gamer like he did last year against Dallas. And a good Dallas defense coached by, you know, Dan Quinn. I just think that is very much in play and you look at the spread, it's only 4.5. I think Green Bay is kind of live to take down Philly. And then I think the Rams should be favored against the Vikings. Now, the California stuff, I mean, tragic. Like, I got a buddy who lives out there who lost his house yesterday. I mean, it's unbelievable, you know, what's happening out there. And obviously football is second. If they have to move the game, which I think is becoming maybe increasingly likely, we heard the NFL, you know, like, announce what the contingency plan was. When the league does that, it's way further down the road of exploring that than normal. Like, if there's a hurricane buried down in Florida, they're like, we're monitoring the weather. In this case, they're actually like, if they have to move, we will move it to Arizona. So that's a little bit of a concern from the Rams' perspective, and obviously everything going on, you know, with players who have their families that live nearby and all that. But you look at the time that they played this year in the regular season, Matthew Stafford completed 75% of his passes against that Brian Flores defense. 4 touchdowns, 8 yards per attempt. And against the blitz, you look at the advanced stats, 9 out of 12. Like, Flores took heat after him on 12 dropbacks, completed 9 of the passes. I just think, and like, rarely do you have a situation where, you know, you're going to have a coaching advantage over Kevin O'Connell, who's a great coach. But Sean McVay, I think, is a better coach than Kevin O'Connell. I mean, both top 10, maybe top 5. You have a coaching advantage, and you have a massive quarterback advantage. You know, Sam Darnold started first playoff game. We saw him against Detroit in that big spot. I think it's a tough spot for Darnold, and I just think the Rams should be favored. I think they win that game as well.
You think the Lions gave the Rams or anybody else a secret to go, because Darnold, when you don't rush him, he'll pick you apart. You rush him, speed him up, he was throwing the ball wherever.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, I think you'll see a lot more pressure packages. You know, get heat on Darnold. You know, and again, like, you know, you talk about getting one dimensional. If you can sort of force them to throw a ton, and you know, I think the guys having a week of rest. You saw Blake Corum breaks his forearm. That's a blow to that depth of that Rams running game. But, you know, it speaks to why Sean McVay rested the guys and wasn't worried about who his opponent was going to be in the wild card round, or whether he was a 3 or 4 seed. I think they sent heat after Darnold, and you see Stafford come out and look really, really sharp. I mean, I'm as big a Matthew Stafford stan as there gets, but, I mean, the guy is a gamer. Now, yeah, he, I know people think he padded stats for years in Detroit, but the freaking Lions, man. He had the Lions in the playoffs several times before they were these Lions. So I think Stafford shows up, and I think the Rams are kind of primed to make maybe even a deep run. People are kind of sleeping on them.
I tend to agree with you on both of those. I think the Pack could be live. I like the Rams. I think the Bills might keep that relatively close in Buffalo. I don't think the weather will scare them. I don't know. It's going to be – I can't wait. Sounds like you like Washington too.
Yeah, I think it'd be a really – I've got Tampa – winning and covering. It's a 3-point spread, right? Like, I think it'll be close. I think the if Washington's down, Jaden will find a way to bring them back in the second half. I just worry, you know, we talk about it with the Magic and stuff like that. It's still a little tougher to do in the playoffs. You know, Tampa's a you know, can run the football. I just worry, like, if they don't, I just if Washington comes out hot and keeps it even to halftime, then absolutely. Like, I think they're primed to upset the Bucs, and wouldn't shock me if they won regardless. But I do think I'm a little concerned about how they look in the first half, and I think that's an unknown with a rookie quarterback and, you know, just sort of the game plan you get from Cliff.
Yeah, well, and they've struggled in first halves for the last month. One number I like a lot, I don't know if you've seen this, my boy Bakari showed me this last night, Commanders to win from behind, so trailing at any point, is plus 225.
Ooh, that's trailing at any point. So, like, if the Bucs go get a field goal, like, that's it. I'd almost rather bet that than, like, bet the Commanders' money line.
Yeah, I mean, I think you probably get more juice out of it, too. Britson,
for sure.
Thank you, buddy.
All right,
appreciate
Brits.
You.
Appreciate you, brother.
Hey, anytime, JB. See you, B-Mitch.
Hey, bro.
Will, did you see there's a panic set in Nashville during the draft weekend? How bad is that timing?
I know, it's brutal, man. And they announced it on Hauser's birthday too, so it's going to be like a killer, like, show.
I know.
I'm sure.
And it's a weekend; it'd be awesome. And meanwhile, we'll be
covering
four draft picks.
Nashville, Roger.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy.
All right, buddy. See you, man.
Will Brinson, great job, CBS Sports. Give him a follow. Check out his podcast at Will Brinson. Here's what we got to do. We're going to start hearing from these coordinators. Just in a few minutes, we'll hear from Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury today. Nate Tice in there as well. Now, before we go, we got to tell you about our friend Paul Henry. B, I don't know if I told you this, but we got to get the shower door thing finished, and I texted Paul, and he's been helping me. It's amazing the kind of resource you get when you work with Paul Henry and Paul Henry's Window Installation. Because, yes, it's a product, and they'll come in and do your windows and change your house, but you also get an advocate for your family. You could just ask him questions, and you build a relationship that you don't necessarily get with other providers. It's just, it's a different entire concept when you work with Paul. It's a small family office. He comes out personally and does all the estimates. Then his son comes out and does the work with his crew. They've done a tremendous job at my home. I know they can do the exact same thing for you. Call Paul this month. You get $100 off each window with a 5-window minimum and $500 off each doors. B, I know Paul's got your house nice and toasty.
Oh, it's nice and toasty. But, you know, most people come in, they do the work, and then they gone. You know, Paul comes in, he does the work, he takes his time. He want to make sure that you're satisfied with the job. And as I said many a times, he want to make sure that the job is done right the first time. And that's because he takes his time. And while taking his time, he still finishes a lot quicker than anybody else because they know what they're doing. So if you want to get some windows from Paul right now, reach out to him. Tell him B. Mitchell Finley sent you and say, Paul, you know what? I want that $100 off each window. I want the 5-window minimum, and also I'll take $500 off each door. Go to Paul Henry's Window Installation. That's paulhenrywindows.com. You're clear. Home improvement choice.
Yo.
We have another Rookie of the Week
award
coming to Ashburn.
My guy.
Only this time it's not Jaden Daniels.
I know. It's the other one.
Mikey Sanristil. Mikey was really good last week. Gets Rookie of the Week. Congrats. I feel like I've never experienced so many Rookie of the Weeks in one season.
What is that, 10 or 11?
Dude, I think Jaden has 11 on his own. So this would be 12. Let me confirm that. But
I think he has 10.
Well, I think Jaden Daniels broke the record. How many Rookie of the Weeks has Jaden Daniels won? Jaden Daniels has broken the record. He's won it 11 times.
Damn.
So I believe that's now 12 of them coming to Ashburn. And So I have physically seen it. They send this belt, like a WWE boxing kind of belt.
Uh-huh.
They send a physical belt for every award. And it's, you know, a big-ass.
Where, like, the hell are you going to put all them belts?
Well, I mean, it kind of has become a running joke with Jaden that he has tried to be really cool about, like, oh, yeah, I'm really excited about this award. He now has 11 of those belts, B. I imagine at some point they become a really good charity auction-ish item, something like that. But right now, dude, I imagine, you know, Jaden has just a room with that. Maybe the first one or the first couple you hang up or display in some manner. But there's just got to be a room full of Rookie of the Week belts. Yeah. Sanristil, though, he's got to be fired up, dude.
Yeah, he should be.
I am quite fond of that award going to Mikey. So, B, the injury report yesterday, I wanted to circle back to this. Brinson's just always a great guest. That was a lot of fun chatting with him.
Mm-hmm.
The injury report yesterday, by far the headline on there, is Marshawn Lattimore was a full participant in practice.
Yeah.
With that hamstring injury. Full. Mm-hmm. I asked DQ about it. He said, yeah, you know, he's hitting all the marks. Things are tracking the right way. We're really excited. How big of a deal is getting Marshawn for Sunday night?
I think it's a huge deal. I think you look at the battles they've had, and Marshawn seems to get under his skin, and he makes Mike, what you call him, do a lot of things, and Mike Evans do a lot of things that you ordinarily wouldn't see a receiver do, and he's gotten kicked out of games. Both of them gotten kicked out of games, but if they don't have Godwin, and if Mikey goes out, Mike goes out there, and he's eliminated based off of because he's out the game or he tries to do something stupid or Lattimore handles him, that gives you a much better chance.
Totally. The one that I don't love, I'm curious your reaction. Lattimore full, which is awesome. Also, Quan full. Remember, they didn't have Quan last week.
Quan was sick.
Because he was sick. Yeah. And I talked to him about it yesterday. I don't think he was thrilled to not get to play, but he, you know, they've built a culture where they're taking care of people. Tyler Biadasz still out there. Still, he was limited with the groin. I talked to Tyler in the locker room, or with the ankle, rather. He said, you know, the Dallas game wasn't just about rest. He couldn't go. And he said, you know, I still feel it, but it seems like he very much believes he's playing. Limited on a Wednesday of a wild card game would absolutely lead me to believe you're playing.
Yeah.
What's your, I don't know the right term, concern level? Or I think Biadasz, I think you can argue which one's more important, Lattimore or Biadasz. But we know a lot more about how things look with Biadasz than how they look when he's not out there. We don't know that much about how it looks with Lattimore, right?
Yeah.
We've only seen it for like a game and a half.
I think Tyler is the one. It's important. But this is the time of the year, Jay, where you do things to get on the field. And I think if he's on the field, he's going – if he's not 100%, he's going to show feel like he is.
Yeah. This time of year, these types of games?
This is where you got to suck it up and let's go, baby. I truly believe Lattimore was close last week. It's my belief.
Okay.
Nothing that I know, nothing that I heard of, but I think just by watching how Dan has done things throughout this year, he seems to try and want to have guys closer to being 100%, which they never get to anyway, than being guys that we just want to get them back on the field.
Yeah, I think even if Lattimore could have gone,
it wasn't necessary.
Well, I think even if Lattimore could have gone, you're not playing him in that one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We are not going to push it for this.
Yeah.
And I think
because he's more important in the playoff than he is in the last game to get a better seed.
Right. Agreed. And you know, looking at the rest of this injury report, four veterans got rest days: Ertz, Farrell, Fowler, McLaurin. I have zero concern about that. Elsewhere on the limited list, you had Biadasz, Jeremy Chinn limited with a rib thing. Remember, he got hit pretty good. Brandon Coleman, he had to come out of that game in Dallas, limited with his knee. I saw him. All these guys I saw yesterday, Jamison Crowder limited with a hammy, Big Luke limited with a groin. I would say, and I don't know this, but like, everyone that's on this injury report, I think, is tracking to playing. All of them.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the Coleman thing last week, some stuff sprung up in that Dallas game. But if you look at the Bucks injury report with a bunch of veterans on there, Tristan Wirfs, who's a really good tackle, limited with a quad. Sterling Shepard, who's been good for them, limited with a foot. Mike Evans got a rest day. That's not a dude I worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Logan Hall, D lineman for them, didn't practice with a groin thing. Bucky Irving was full, but is on the injury report. Jalen McMillan was full on the injury report. Antoine Winfield. We keep hearing that nobody's certain if Winfield's playing or not, but he was full on the injury report with the knee. Sure seems like he's playing, at least based on that, don't you think?
Yeah, if he was full on a Wednesday.
Right. I'm going to try to keep us on time here, which I know will surprise Lamphill.
Surprise
we should
the world.
Hear, we should hear from Commander's defense coordinator Joe Witt in just a moment. But I got to tell you, if you're looking at a garage door or a new garage door opener, you got to do what I did. Go with the pros at Door Pro America. JP Finley here, and my wife and I realized something. Our garage door was probably older than we were. It was so damn loud that when you get the new one in there and it's silent, it makes such a difference. Plus, they insulate things so much better. It is a night and day difference when you get a new garage door. We called the real pros at Door Pro America, and now we are going to level up. Shane and Vince from Door Pro America came out, showed us a bunch of different options. They had these cool Photoshops that we were able to scroll through and see how they looked with our house. The whole process was super easy. We couldn't be more stoked about the new door we've got. Door Pro America has proudly been serving the DMV for over 50 years. Their team handles everything, garage door and opener repairs, maintenance, new installations, and they do it like true pros. Right now, call them up, save $150 on a brand new garage door. If your garage door is stuck in the past like one of those old leather helmets, or you just need a little TLC, take it from me and go with the pros at Door Pro America. Call 877-DOOR-PRO. That's 877-DOOR-PRO. And tell them JP Finley sent you. Or you can check out DoorProAmerica.com.
Thriller!
Be Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fam.
Can I?
In moments, we're going to take you live to listen to, I'm trying to look it up, if it's Joe Witt or Cliff going first today. All right, I'm pulling up the media schedule. Today is Thursday, right, B?
Yep.
At least the schedule is for Cliff to go first any minute now, and Joe Witt after him. We'll see. These things are often...
they've changed them up sometimes.
Tentative. Yeah, yeah. Things change a lot, especially in a playoff week where... there are times, and you and I have occasionally disagreed on this, there are times where I think teams and professional organizations need to be a little bit more mindful of the media and what schedules say and what you're supposed to adhere to. And then there are times where I think the media has to understand, nah, man, they got bigger fish to fry. Mm-hmm. And I think playoff week of wild card weekend is a bigger fish to fry situation. I do believe, though, Joe Witt is getting ready to sit down right now. Landini, you let me know when we have that. This is a big challenge for Joe Witt this week and his defense, but I'm fascinated to see what he thinks changes by getting Marshon Lattimore back on the field. If you just look at Tampa's offense coming into this thing, Baker Mayfield threw for 41 touchdowns. They're fourth in the NFL in points scored. Here is Commanders defense coordinator Joe Witt.
All right, so it's good to get into the playoffs. You know, we finished the season against Dallas the right way. You know, we're talking about winning moments, and the two plays that I really think about, you know, they run the quarterback keeper on third and one. We stop it, okay, give the offense the ball. All right, we get into the same situation, and Marcus runs it for a long way and gives us the opportunity to win the game. And that's winning moments, you know, all sides of the ball, and so we have to keep doing that. We're going against Tampa, you know, where we started this journey, and so it's going to be fun going down there and going against those guys. Really good football team. Been really impressed with Baker Mayfield. I mean, this guy has played at a really, really high level. He can escape the pocket as good as anybody in the league, okay? We missed 5 sacks on him the first time, but we weren't the only ones. There have been plenty of teams to go in there and try to hit him. He has the ability to step up and keep his eyes down the field. And he's just been playing. He's a competitive player, you know. So I take my hat off to him. Mike is back, you know, another 1,000 yards. He does it every year. So that's always going to be a challenge. They have a really good offensive line, young running backs that run hard. You know, their screen game is very good. You know, they're a dual threat, fast pace. When I say fast pace, they get to their spaces fast in the pass game, and then they get vertical, good run after catch, and they're good after contact with the backs. It's going to be a good game, going to be a challenging game, but it'll be a fun one. Any questions?
Baker's had a career year in terms of scrambles and scramble yards. Is there something that's different about him or this scheme that's allowed him to do that, or is it just happenstance, you think?
I think he is just doing a good job of making people miss. I mean, he's been hard to tackle in the pocket across every team that goes in there. So you have to hit him as if you're going to hit a running back. If you go in there like you're going to hit a quarterback, normal quarterbacks, you're going to probably come off. So,
from the outside looking in, one of the biggest differences, it seems like, in their offense is Bucky Irving, kind of the role he's playing. What do you kind of make of him, and how does he change that offense?
Well, he can make you miss in space. You know, he's fast, he's quick, he's a slasher. So I just think they use not just him, but all the eligibles in a very unique way of, when I say fast pace, they want to get the ball in their hands right now. Like, they have close to 1,000 yards, you know, with the ball behind the line of scrimmage on throws, where they're going, you know. And so they want to get those guys in space and then let them have run after catch opportunities.
You mentioned as you guys got close to Baker in the first game, what is the key to getting him down?
Just like I said, you have to treat him and hit him like he's a running back while he's in the pocket. Understanding that, all right, when he's outside the pocket, he doesn't get the protection. But when he's in the pocket, we got to stay shoulders to thighs, all right? But we have to go in there and hit him like he's a running back. If we go in there and hit him like he's a little quarterback, you're going to come off. And then he has a good job of sliding up and out, and he's keeping his eyes downfield. I know he does scramble, but he's scrambling to throw, all right? He's just playing high-level ball. And so, we just got to get him on the ground.
And as you go back and watch the tape on you guys, how much different does the defense look to you since that week one meeting with you?
Totally different. I mean, we totally different. That was, from a game. I think we played hard. I didn't have them, ready to go. Most of that was my fault that the play was what it was that game. But that was a long time ago, so.
You talk about their screen game. Why it did hurt you guys a little bit in the first game, but why is it so effective? What do they do that makes it so effective?
Well, they have a really good offensive line that gets out right now. So when they get out, they get their bigs on people's littles, and they create voids for people to go. They have a number of different type of screens. You have the play action screen, the slip screen, the cross screen, all those to the backs, and then you have the ones that the tunnel screen, tear screen from the outside. So they have just a variety of different screens and different ways of getting to it, and then they get in and they go with it. And so.
And then even, I know it is a long time ago, that first game, but what maybe is the biggest transformation of the defense from that point to now?
Well, if you look at the first three games, all right, we were, 31st in pass defense? All right, we finished third, okay? We were probably 31st in percentage. We finished third. Third down, we've been up and down. Right before this last game, we were teetering in the top 10. We were horrible then, so the defense has really trended in the right direction. So the points have been down. So the defense is just different.
Bucky Irving is a different piece for them, at least in terms of usage compared to the first game. Mm-hmm. What's the key against him that you see?
Say it again.
What's the key to slowing him down, or how does that change? For
well, the key is to handling the screen game, because that's how they like to use him a lot. And then in the run game, making sure that we take care of the C gap in the run game.
You've had this year, obviously, to be around Cliff and to, I'm sure, exchange ideas. And what's stood out to you about him as a coach this year?
About Cliff? I didn't know I was going to ask about Cliff. He gets here very early in the morning. he's probably gets here around 3 o'clock in the morning. Cliff is going to do it Cliff's way, So I've been really impressed with his conviction and belief in, all right, this is the way that we're going to do it. And they go do it that way. His connection with Jaden is really, really good. You can see Jaden believes in what Cliff is teaching him. And so, I'm not trying to dodge a question, but my mind's on Tampa. Cliff has done a really nice job, so I'm glad we're working together.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach.
How you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Yep.
We talked about Bucky Irving, but Jalen McMillan is another rookie on the Bucs offense that has had an expanded role since the last time you guys saw them. What kind of stands out in his game for you?
Well, like I said, the thing that stands out in all these guys is just really the way that they're utilizing them in space. And so that's what I don't want to get into, pitching out each guy, but
just about them right now heading into this new part of the season.
Well, the times that we've gone out there, so like we dropped the punt in the last game, we went out there and held them to a field goal. The way we played in the red zone this last game, the sudden change, situational football, we're playing much better. Okay, the thing that we have to do is get the ball. We have to do that. That's what and I know everybody wants to talk about the run game, but if we can get the ball and get some of those turnovers, that controls a lot of the game as well. But the way we run and hit and the violence and the connection that we play with, really pleased with that.
Joe Witt, a lot of information there. The thing that might jump off the page to me is he's saying Cliff Kingsbury gets into the office around 3 a.m. I've heard all season how early Cliff gets there and that it's earlier than other people think, but damn, 3 a.m. Hey. Holy.
When the hell he go to sleep?
I don't know. Nate Tice joins us next. Then we'll hear from Cliff. Woo. Nobody go anywhere.